are listening to Good Content, a podcast about living out our faith more boldly through radical love.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Erin, and we're so glad you're with us. For this episode, this fourth episode, we are going to be talking about forgiveness and letting go. But before that happens...
Y'all already know. If you come this far, you already know what time it is.
But it's an important time, and I want to just give this time the respect that is due, because what time is it, Alex?
It's time for the song to slap.
Let's go.
Erin, what's the last thing that made you really mad?
Really mad? I don't get really mad in general. I don't know. Maybe I just don't admit that I'm really mad. But, okay, the last thing that was, I guess, upsetting to me and made me mad was I was waiting for, like, 3 emails for really important stuff. Like, well, it was important to me. I was trying to adopt a cat. And I was waiting to hear back from the shelter to see about when I could go visit them. And I was like, it was going to be the next day. And I was like, what do I plan to do? And then I didn't hear back from them. And I was waiting to hear back from my thesis advisor. And I was waiting to hear back from, like, another professor. And I was just so anxious about receiving these emails. And none of them would answer me. And I was like, I feel unseen. I feel worthless. Why won't you answer me? So with those emails, not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but made me angry. What about you?
Mine, too, was not a big deal, but it made me livid. Erin was here. She can confirm.
Yeah.
So I went to a home renovation store. Let's call it Pose. Okay? Let's just call it Pose. Okay. P-O-W-E apostrophe S. Pose. And so I went to Pose, and, I went to get a portable AC because my room was sweltering at night. Because we live in ye olde Massachusetts, where we believe that it is not hot enough for a central heating and air, which is false. So I went to Pose to get the portable AC. And when I received it, I drove 30 minutes home and opened the box. And when I opened the box, none of the necessary equipment was in there that I needed to put it together. So I got really, really angry and I called them and I was like, hey, you guys sold me one that didn't have the hoses or anything in it. And they're like, okay, bring it back. We'll give you another one. So I had to go all the way back, 30 minutes there and 30 minutes back. And when I went there, I had to pay $40 more on top of what I had already spent to get a different brand, a different model of the same brand, because they didn't have any more of the one that they gave me originally. And so, they sent me home with another one, a bigger unit that was supposed to be more powerful, and I only had to pay $40 more for it, so I was like, great. Got home, Erin was with me, we labored it up the stairs with my landlord, and we opened it up. And they did it again. Shame on you for fooling me once. But shame on me for being fooled by you twice.
No, but you asked.
I did ask, but I should have looked. But in any case, I was livid. I was livid. And I ended up just getting so upset about it. And I raised my voice at the people on the phone. And I wasn't proud of that. So that's the last thing that really got me angry. Grand scheme of things, not a big deal. But I guess in talking about these two smaller slights that happen against us, that's kind of the way that we want to move into talking about what it actually means to forgive people.
Yeah.
And what it means to let things go.
Yeah.
So to kick us off, talking about forgiveness and letting go. Erin, didn't you want to start with a parable?
Oh, I did.
Yes.
Yeah, so here's just, I mean, you probably know this, but in case you need evidence that, like, to forgive is biblical, it's scriptural. Here you go. Chapter 18, verses 21 to 35, gives the parable of the unmerciful servant. And this is the NIV. And it says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants, who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
What jumps out from that scripture to you?
That's a great question. And, I mean, there's a couple of things. One is that, you know, both of the servants here who owe something, they ask. And the person who is owed money here, they can choose to say no. They can choose to say, like, yeah, I'll give you extra time to pay back what you owe. But the master here, the person who's owed the most amount of money, says, I'm going to cancel your debt entirely. And the other thing that always sticks out to me in this passage is the math of it and the numbers, which, sorry for being a nerd.
What you meant is sorry for being rad.
But at the beginning, when Peter is asking, like, do I forgive 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 77, or 7 times, 70 times 7 in other versions. 7 in biblical understanding is a perfect number. Mm. So Jesus is saying, like, not just perfectly, but, like, perfectly, the way that God forgives. So basically what he's saying is that you need to 5 give.
One more than... Not four giving, but five giving. Gosh, we're goobers.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's, like, actually awesome, though. That's, like, an amazing...
Thank you.
That's good.
But there's more math in here to be thought about. So in the parable itself, the amount that the master is owed, like, the first guy who is owed money, it, in some, like, commentaries, I guess, that I've read here about this scripture... It's more than somebody could possibly pay back in a lifetime. Like, it's more than a lifetime of wages. Mm. And that is what is completely forgiven and wiped away. And then when this servant whose debt is forgiven goes out and he's trying to get back what he owes, that amount is about, like, a year's worth of wages, roughly. Mm. So the difference between, I mean, if you're going to compare it to sin, which Jesus is doing, it's like the biggest sin that you couldn't possibly ever atone for. That's every sin that we do against God because he's perfect versus, you know, a tiny transgression that you can make up for, which is anything anybody can do against us.
Wow. That's, man, what that gets me thinking about is, it's this idea, right, that God doesn't have to forgive us. He chooses that. Mm-hmm. And he not only chooses to give us eternal life through that forgiveness, but also, like, he has mercy on us.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have to. Like, every sin that we commit, we couldn't pay it back to him in a million lifetimes.
No.
But he, because we asked, right, he gives it to us. And then here we are, right? We turn around after we're infinitely forgiven for all the things.
Mm-hmm.
We turn around and we go, oh, well, that woman that cut me off, well, I'm not going to forgive her.
Yeah.
I am just not going to forgive her. What she did is just unforgivable. Like, I am going to take that to the grave. Like,
you're so right.
And it's silly if you think about it. Because what we think of as a transgression from person to person could not ever compare to the transgressions we commit every moment of every day.
No.
Of our entire lives.
Right. And, like, when we're forgiven, that's without us having to atone for it. That's, like, Jesus did that.
Yeah.
Jesus atoned for it.
Yeah. And it's without conditions.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I feel like sometimes forgiveness for human beings looks like, okay, I'll forgive you if.
Yeah.
I'll forgive you with the condition of, you know? Like, I feel like sometimes it becomes like a transaction when it is a heart thing.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And it, like, that really gets to the idea of debt and owing a debt that, like, this parable talks about. So it's like, I'll forgive you when you have, you know, atoned for it in whatever way, when you've paid me back.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that brings me to a question about just, like, forgiveness in general. When we say forgiveness, what does that mean to you?
Ooh, that's a big one. That's a big question. And I'm sure I won't answer it well at all, but I'm going to sure do my will. Best. I'm going to do my best. So, a little bit of background. You know this, Aaron, but there's a person in my life that I love very dearly, who's very close to me. Who's hurt me very, very deeply and wounded me in so many ways. It took me 10 years to forgive them, to forgive this person. And, you know, even after I forgave them, it didn't feel good. Like, it didn't feel easy, in a sense. It was like I was still forcing it. And that's when I realized that I was missing, well, I didn't realize it. The Lord gave me the grace. I never realized these things. The Lord gave me the grace to understand that I was missing a vital piece of forgiveness, which is the mercy piece. Mm-hmm. So misericordia, right? So turning your heart to another's pity.
That's good.
Thanks, Sister Miriam. Thanks, Sister Miriam.
Shout out.
And Abiding Together podcast. But it's, if you look at it like that, forgiveness isn't just saying, I forgive you. It's not forgetting about the thing, but it's saying, I forgive you plus.
Mm.
I forgive you and. It's not just like you forgive and that's it. It's not, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not easy. It's hard. It's very hard. And turning your heart to another person's pity often looks like reminding yourself that they're an image bearer. of the Lord. Like, yeah, it's easy to say, okay, I'm really angry at that person and they really pissed me off. But then when you think about it in terms of, like, whoa, that person is a child of God and a bearer of his image and likeness, who am I to say I won't forgive it?
Right.
I won't forgive the transgression.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes, you know, the pride gets in the way, or, you know, our wounds fill up with blood and they start, you know, spilling over, and we're just like, I'm bleeding out here. I don't, you know, whatever. But the reality is that they're wounded and I'm wounded. I mean, you're wounded and that person who hurts you is wounded. And, you know, rather than, like, holding our hands over each other's wounds and stopping the bleeding for each other, that's the, you know, I feel like the mercy piece. We end up just, like, jabbing our finger into the hole or, like, rubbing salt in it. So it wasn't until I had mercy on the person that really hurt me, where I turned my heart towards theirs and had pity on them. Not like, oh, poor you, poor guy, but more like, okay, hurt people, right? Mm-hmm. Wounded people wound people. And it's not for me to fix them or heal them or anything like that. But it is important for me to remember that that wound that they gave to me most likely is a wound that someone else gave to them in a different way.
Yeah, but it becomes so cyclical when you continue to inflict wounds on one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, your understanding of mercy and the process of forgiveness, that breaks the cycle.
Yeah.
Really, which is... And, like, I love what you said, you know, the contrast between forgiveness if and forgiveness and.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like, what is your posture? Is it a positive posture toward healing, or is it a posture toward, like, I'm going to get what I can get?
Yeah.
That's huge.
Is it transactional? Do you expect something from them in return? Because God forgives our transgressions freely and without conditions. And if we're supposed to be perfect like Him, or strive toward perfection, which we won't achieve, but we have to strive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
What does that look like? Well, it certainly doesn't look like, okay, I'll forgive you if you admit this. I'll forgive you if you admit this. Like, you forgive and you do it not just for you, but for them too. Because not for them, I mean for you as well. Because the way I like to think about forgiveness is that, or I would say, let me back it up for a second. The way I like to think about anger and hatred and strife is that it's like a poisonous seed or a poisonous pit, and it grows from you into the other person.
Yikes.
But the reality is that you're the one who is harboring the majority of the poison. You know, you're the one who has the poisonous pit that needs to be plucked out.
Mm-hmm.
While you're miserable, and you're just sitting there angry and, you know, just snarling and, you know, thinking about how angry you are at the person, they're on living their life.
Yeah.
they're getting on, they're keeping on to keep on, you know, and that should make you, for no other reason, you should be like, well, I'm not going to let them steal even another moment of my joy.
Truth.
And ultimately, as a Christian, or I'm called to this. This is a high call that I have to do. And it, you know, sometimes forgiving people really sucks.
Yeah.
And it feels poopy. But you have to do it. So.
Yeah, like, if we wanted more clarity about why and how we have to do it, like, it's in the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, the biggest part. And, like, Jesus says it so many times in the Gospels.
He does. He really hits it up in Matthew.
Yeah.
He really does. There's a verse I'm reminded of. It's in Matthew. I'll link it in. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, or I'll write it out in the show notes. But it says that before you approach the altar to give your offering, that you should, if you have some transgression with your brother, you should lay aside your offering first and then go make peace with him and then approach the altar. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about that in terms of, like, a lot of times when I go up to receive, I don't think about that. Yeah. When I go up to receive the Eucharist, I don't find myself being like, did I forgive my brother? did I forgive the person who cut me off on the road? Have I forgiven myself? I don't know. So sometimes when I have that moment where the Lord gives me grace to be reminded of my unforgivingness, I sometimes are like, okay, when I approach, I'm like, Lord, help this be like a seed that you're planting in me to help grow forgiveness or something like that. It's definitely not that poetic in my mind.
That's a great prayer, though. I think it's really related a lot of times to humility. And, like you've been saying, it's really hard, and I think you have to literally die to yourself every time. You need to, like, to die to your desires,
mm-hmm.
To your need to like, have vengeance or even, like, have it made up to you in order to actually forgive. And that doesn't mean that you condone the behavior.
No.
Or that you allow it to continue. Like, if you are in a dangerous situation, you should always, you know, try to get out of it. Do what you can to not allow it to continue to happen. Especially if it's an injustice happening to, like, another person that you see and you're trying to stop that. Like, that's first and foremost, but once you're at the point of, like, okay, you're in safety, you're ready to forgive this person, they might not apologize. Mm-hmm. They might not be able to apologize. Maybe they're not with us anymore, or, like, you can't safely see them. But forgiveness is not about what you can get, as we've been saying. It's a choice that you are making, and that you have to make every day.
It is a choice. The Lord always gives us choices.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason that he created us, right? Is to have the... he gave us free will to choose how we live. And you have to choose to forgive the person that you forgave last year every other day after that.
Yeah.
Like, every day. I'm trying to forgive the people that I forgave yesterday again. Like, it's just... and some days I'm like, I ain't gonna forgive you. Just forget it. I'm not gonna forgive you today. Like, and, you know, I get indignant about something, and I'm like, I just cannot forgive right now. I just can't do it. And it really busts my, you know, really busts my buttons. I think it's frost my buttons. I don't know what the...
frost your buttons.
What is it? Bites my buttons. What is the...
bust my buttons is the line from The Wizard of Oz. So, yeah.
Let's just go with that.
Yeah.
I don't do good with metaphors. But it really gets my hackles up, I should say.
That's good.
When people, especially when other Christians say, well, you just have to forgive. Okay. Well, that is easier said than done.
Yeah.
Like, we've already gone through this. It's a whole mechanism.
Mm.
Like, forgiveness is a process. It does not happen overnight, and it is actually not helpful a lot of the time when someone has really hurt you, or like a profound hurt has happened, and then people are, well, you just have to forgive them. Well, yeah, but like there's a process.
Yeah, and if you don't let yourself understand that it's a process, then if you can't do it right away, then you're like, well, I guess I can't do this forgiveness thing, so I'm just going to hold on to it. And then you don't continue down the road of the process.
Mm-hmm. You have to try.
Forgiveness.
You have to keep trying. You have to keep trying, and you have to keep doing it. And then after you reach the point where you did it, you have to do it again and again. And, you know, every time you feel weary and you're like, ugh, I'm so sick of forgiving people, just think about how many times the Lord has forgiven us in a single moment. Like, since this podcast episode started, I'm sure he's forgiven us like 4,000 times.
Yeah.
I think all things have to be put into perspective. And surely any of us who are listening right now have had something happen to us that was really cut us to the quick. That you just said, I can never forgive you for this. But it's our duty to try.
Yeah. Big time. And, like, pray for the grace to do that.
It doesn't happen without grace.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I can attest to that 100,000,000% that the things that this person has done to me would have sent most people running for the hills.
Mm-hmm.
But I love them.
And you work hard. You worked hard to get there.
Oh, yeah. Therapy also is a thing, people. Yeah. like, you know, grace from the Lord and a good therapist is just what the doctor ordered.
I think therapists are often a grace from the Lord. Like, he works through therapists. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Big time.
So, how then, when someone does something really atrocious to us, or we feel really, really, really slighted, what do we do? How do we go about taking that first step of the series of steps?
Mm-hmm.
to the forgiveness end? And how do we let go?
Yeah. Oof. That's a hard question.
Yeah.
I mean, the first step, I think, is always to pray. And it's like, hokey as that sounds, or like, oh, that's quaint.
Like, yeah.
Actually, step back and ask yourself, ask God, how does God see this person who hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
And how does God see the situation?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like it when, like, something unjust has happened to you. That's real. But he doesn't stop loving that person.
Mm-mm.
So, like, first, always ask yourself, how does God see it? I think another, among the first steps is to get safe. If that is an issue for you, or if it's something that you feel like is in play, get safe. Then after that, I don't know, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, another step that you can take in the early stages, I think, is just to recognize the anger.
Yeah.
Just be like, don't even try to act like you're not mad. Because you know what ends up happening? You go, oh, I'm not even mad. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. And then you start doing passive-aggressive stuff.
Yeah.
And that causes more wounding to you, to the person. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Just admit it. I'm angry. And then take a beat. You know? Mm. You're angry? Go take a walk. Okay? Or just even, seriously, like, sometimes when I'm mad, I just have to say it. I am mad right now. I am furious. Like, I just have to admit that is the feeling that I'm feeling the strongest right now.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I know from therapy, Erin, I'm sure you know from therapy, that anger is the surface emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Always underneath this, like, a myriad of other things that are happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, feelings of worthlessness, feeling like the person doesn't respect you, feeling slighted, feeling sad, feeling, you know, whatever, hungry, I don't know. Like,
true.
Hanger. Like, yeah, so, like, whatever. There are a multitude of complex emotions that you probably can't even name mm-hmm. that are underneath the anger. That it just presents itself in a really bold and angry way. And, you know, so just admit, okay, I'm angry right now. And then, you know, as you're spending some time with that feeling, you know, not stoking the fire, but just admitting to yourself and to the Lord that you are mad and that you feel you're mad as hell. You're mad. You can say, you know what, Lord, I'm angry. I'm just mad. That person really, really, really angered me. That person slighted me and I don't want to see them ever again. Like, you can say what you need to say. You can say it to the Lord. He already knows your heart. He knows what you're feeling.
True.
He knows all the feelings underneath. If you need to have a moment where you're screaming and crying and you're like, I'm so mad right now and I just need to cry and God, I don't want to forgive them. I just wish they would just disappear. Like, you can say what you need to say. And then be honest with the Lord. Just be honest with him and about how you're feeling. Like, don't try to go, okay, I've got this. I'm not upset. I'm fine. Like, don't do that. Just be like, Lord, I'm mad. You know, so-and-so really pissed me off, and I don't know how to handle this. I really don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have faith that he will provide the grace for you to handle it, just because you're showing him your real heart.
That's huge. That's so true.
Yeah.
I think a really, really important thing that you said just now was, I don't want to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a thing that we can say. And that's okay. That's, you can continue during your whole process of forgiving to not want to forgive. Because you can do stuff you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cool thing about it. Like, it's not like forgiveness is this thing that, like, suddenly happens. It's not like a scab that forms over a wound. You're like, oh, like, you look there and it's there one day. Like, okay, I'm in forgiveness mode. But no, it's like you're choosing to dress that wound, to wash it and to
tend to it. Tend it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, you don't like the whole situation. You wish none of it were there. It doesn't matter. You can still choose to forgive.
You can.
And you know that... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I was laying in bed probably a week ago, and I had a really traumatizing memory come back to me that I had long buried. And I felt sad and I felt angry, really angry at the person. But so I talked to my sister and, you know, she just let me kind of vent about my feelings. And I haven't forgiven that person yet for that, what they did. But I will. And I don't want to.
Yeah.
I do not want to. I want to be clear. I almost never want to forgive someone who's really slighted me. Like, who among us really does?
Right.
But it doesn't matter that we don't want to do it. It's what we're called to do. Mm. And like you said, you don't have to want to do it, but you can still do it. Right. I don't want to eat vegetables a lot of times, but I still eat them. I don't want to drink water sometimes, but I still do it.
Oh, I love drinking water. You like drinking water?
Sometimes I don't.
I'm gonna drink some right now.
Okay, a little ASMR for you. but yeah, so I mean, honestly, I get really sick of hearing all the, like, the forgiveness talk and all that stuff in the religious circuits. It just, it doesn't present the real struggle a lot of times of what it's like to have to forgive someone. Mm-hmm. When someone does something atrocious to you, like, you know, takes someone away from you, like kills someone you love, when someone rapes you, when someone really, 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 really hurts you. You know, I can't remember who told me this story, but I remember someone telling me this story. There was a young couple, and it's a real story. It really happened. I just can't remember who told me. There's this young couple who just got married, and only been married for maybe a year, I think. The husband's a cop. The wife was a teacher, I think. The father, or the husband, ends up going to a certain crime that's being committed. Some kids are pranking someone in the park, whatever. And he ends up getting shot in the process and is paralyzed and becomes like a quadriplegic. And that couple that has just had their life just totally upended by a senseless act of violence invites the young man who is responsible to live with them because he's living on the streets. He has nowhere to go.
Wow.
And they say, we forgive him. And we want to give him a place to live if he needs that. And they had like a young child and stuff. Like, their lives were really upended.
Yeah.
But they forgave. I think it's because they saw there was a need and that the wound that was inflicted was a wound that person already had inflicted upon them too, through poverty and other things. So forgiveness is not impossible, but it definitely is hard.
Yeah. That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And I like other stories like that, you know, a couple that come to mind are the shooting at the church in, I think, South Carolina.
Yeah.
By Dylan Roof at the Bible study.
Yeah.
And how the members of the Bible study, they just forgave him, prayed for him. I'm thinking also of the police officer who shot a man in his home who she thought she was in her own apartment.
Oh, yeah. Amanda Geiger. Was that her name? Amber Geiger.
Yeah.
She's the cop.
Right. And at her sentencing or trial or whatever, the victim's brother forgave her wholeheartedly. And, like, that is the gospel.
Didn't he hug her, too?
Yeah.
He, like, embraced her.
That's the gospel. In court. It's not easy.
No. No. I mean, the entire documentary about the murder of the church congregates in the Emmanuel AME church, the one in South Carolina. It's called Emmanuel, the documentary. Oh, I'll link it in the show notes. It is, I could cry just thinking about it. It is truly breathtaking. It is gorgeous and it is just so hard to watch. But they are so forgiving. The whole documentary is about forgiving someone in impossible circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
For taking someone away from you that you love.
Yeah.
Watch it. These people understand pain.
Mm.
And it's such an uplifting documentary at the same time, because those people have found true freedom on the other side of their forgiveness. Some of the people, there's one person in the documentary that has not forgiven him and doesn't know if he ever will. But there are so many others that understand why he doesn't, but also choose to do the opposite. Mm. And it's really interesting. You should watch it.
I've not seen that.
Oh my gosh, we should watch it. I would love to watch it again.
Yeah, because so what are these people doing who choose to forgive, who are making that really brave, difficult decision? They're saying, I see this person who has wounded me and wounded those I love most, and this person is made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
This person is a part of the body of Christ, or they have the potential to be if they're not baptized. And I choose to integrate the body and to bring healing to the body instead of more division.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing more in imitation of Jesus than that. We see that when Jesus is on the cross and says, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do.
Oh my gosh. That's one of the hardest parts of watching the Passion of Christ.
Mm.
Is watching him be so beaten and torn down and so spat on and just desecrated in every way. The most holiest thing on this whole planet and in this universe. And he chooses to forgive us on the cross and asks for mercy on our behalf.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Is supernatural, but forgiveness is supernatural too.
Truly.
And I mean, that's why confession is so important.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it transforms us when we go in, and when we come out, we're different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why Jesus told the apostles, what you bind here on earth is bound here, is bound in heaven, and what you loose is loosed in heaven, you know? And it's the church's, it's the disciples' decision to institute confession as a sacrament and to give us the opportunity to be forgiven all of our sins, no mm-hmm. matter how big or small they are.
Man, there's a lot of mercy out there to be had by God, so I don't know. It's like we can choose to participate in that by accepting it and giving it or not.
Yeah, his mercies are new every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that brings us to, like, the letting go aspect of it.
Yeah.
How do we let go? What do we do? What's the last thing you let go?
Let me think about the last thing I let go. Yeah, that's a good question.
I thought of it.
Right.
I
have it. Go.
No, okay. You go first, though. You go.
Hmm. One thing that I'm thinking about, some things that have made me angry recently, this is different from my, like, email fiasco that wasn't really a fiasco, but I've been having some health problems, and I've been really angry and upset with doctors, and if you're a doctor, I'm sorry, I'm not talking about all doctors, but the ones that I've interacted with have had this attitude of, like, I don't believe you, and I'm not going to help. Like, that's not what they said, but that's essentially what happened. So, it still hurts me in a lot of ways, and it continues to hurt my body, because it's not fixed, but the idea of letting go there means to say, like, okay, I'm not going to continue, like, beating a dead horse by trying to show these doctors why they're wrong. Like, for me, letting go and moving on means to say, like, okay, I'm going to try to find another doctor, and I'm just going to keep trucking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And look for other options.
Mm-hmm. It's active.
Yeah. And it's hard for me to do that, because I don't like to upset people. And I find, like, a lot of times in my, like, forgiveness or in my attempts to heal and move on, like, those active choices, I'm afraid of hurting other people. But for real healing to happen, like, you have to make hard choices.
Yeah.
What about yours?
I have a person in my family that I don't really get along with, and in my extended family. Mm-hmm. And this person really has issues with my mother for unfounded, baseless accusations that they lodge at her for no reason. And it's really, really hard to watch. I mean, my mom has been through so much, and she has a will of iron. And instead of getting really angry, which my mom and my dad and my siblings all warned me against about this person, rather than getting really angry at this person, I decided to knit their kids some cute little things. Mm-hmm. And I really want them to wear them because I love them. And I've been finding a lot of joy in that process of laying stitch after stitch after stitch after stitch after stitch of these two projects for these little kids. And that's how I'm choosing to let it go, is by doing an action for someone that angers me towards the people that they love.
Yeah.
I'm doing something for their loved ones. And I know that when I feed and edify their loved ones, that will, in effect, edify them.
Yeah.
And it's hard, but I'm letting it go.
That's beautiful, because, like, the process you're describing is that literally for every stitch, you're making the choice to forgive and to love.
Yeah.
And to respond to animosity with love.
Yep.
That's huge.
It is, but I couldn't do it without the Lord. I do not possess that function.
None of us do.
I do not possess that function, and I need him to help me with that.
Yeah.
So, and he does.
It sounds like the process of it too, like the methodical nature of it, might be like therapeutic and helpful in a way for that. Mm-hmm. Is it?
It is. Knitting is like that in general, but also knowing that I'm making something for a person who would consider themselves my enemy, probably.
Yeah.
Making something for their precious children makes me feel like I'm making, I guess, one step, I'm making another step closer to forgiving them.
Yeah.
So, it's good. It's good all the way around.
That's a really cool way to work toward having compassion for somebody, I think.
Because mm-hmm.
when you have, like, a long-term project, or you're putting your energy into thinking about another person just over a long period of time, then you necessarily are growing in empathy for them.
Because mm-hmm.
you're thinking about them as a person.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, it can surprise you and lead you to places of, like, connection, shared values that you didn't realize you had.
Yeah.
So who knows what will actually come out of this project you're doing?
Who knows? Well, it looks like it's about that time to do our last segment.
Hmm.
Where we talk to you about one piece of good content that we have consumed recently.
Would you like to go first, Alex?
No, you go.
Me go? Oh, okay. So, the piece of content I would like to share is a movie. It's a Brazilian film, and the title in Portuguese is Abril Despedaçado, which I don't understand the translation. But in English, it's called Behind the Sun. So, if you can watch it with subtitles, it's cool. It has a little bit of content that is, like, kind of sexual, but it's very fast-forward throughable. And I would say overall, it's a good piece of content. And it's really closely related to what we've been talking about today. So it is about a family, a feud between these two families in Brazil. And, like, the result of it, it kind of, like, deals with this cyclical nature of, like, revenge and unforgiveness that we've been talking about. The result is that somebody in their family is killed. Like, jeez. They just go back and forth killing each other, and they're like, all right, it's now your turn, and it's, like, methodical. So it deals with that and what it means if it's possible to break that cycle. And it was a film I really loved, so highly recommend it. It's from 2001, Behind the Sun.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
It's cool.
My piece of content is also a movie, and it is called Burden. It came out this year. It's on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime Video. You can rent it for, I think, like $3. Four bucks, something like that. It's definitely worth it. It is exactly about the same thing we're talking about, too. It's about forgiving someone in impossible circumstances. So it tells the true life story of a man who is a KKK member.
Dang.
And he decides to leave the Klan after falling in love with someone who doesn't support their way of life. And they essentially get blacklisted and thrown out of their jobs, out of their homes, and have to just kind of figure out what to do on their own. And they are taken in by a black family. The father, patriarch of the family, is a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And whose brother, or excuse me, his uncle. So one of the preacher's direct family members was killed by the Klan.
Wow.
And it really deals with the idea of, like, redemption and forgiving someone who reminds you of your trauma every single day.
Wow.
And it's such a powerful film. It is such a powerful film. It's called Burden, and you should look it up. And look up the real life people. Their story is amazing.
That sounds incredible.
It is. It's amazing. Well, it's about that time, isn't it?
Yeah.
For the other song.
Before we hit it, I want to say, remember, try to forgive somebody. Remember that that person is always redeemable.
They are. And unrepeatable.
Unrepeatable, yeah. Time. And now it's time.
Please don't go. I need you so. I'm begging.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Good Content.
And we hope that if this podcast was something that you found valuable, exciting, or even a little bit funny, that you'll share it with a friend.
And join us next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.